This is the individual oral for English language and literature. My oral revolves around the global issue of patriarchy and more specifically focuses on the gender inequality in which men are considered to be superior than to women. Consequently, it also relates to the female stereotypes that are constructed and perpetuated in society. Traditionally, women's roles were constricted to the domestic sphere, and their worth measured by the fulfillment of these domestic duties, and very significantly, their physical appearance. Therefore, if a woman did not meet the standards of youth and beauty, and the role determined for her by society, her man would leave her, thereby decreasing her self-worth. The first text that I'm going to focus on is a selection of poems from Caroline Duffy's 1999 anthology, The World's Wife. The Duffy's feminist poetry empowers women, and the poem that I have selected is Medusa. The second text is a series of vintage multimodal advertisements that feature testimonials to publicize palm oil soap in the late 1930s. The advertisement that I have focused on is Marriage Can Stay Romantic. Using her poems as media, Duffy asserts the idea that the patriarchy does affect women, whether it be by objectifying them with their male gaze, as done in Standing Female Nude, or making what seems to be the right decision for them, as done in The Lilliput Kep. Duffy vilifies the man, thereby subverting the gender imbalance, and gives her women characters or personas a voice and perspective in contradiction to the silence that has been imposed on them by creators of legend, myth, and literature. Therefore, she compels audiences to think critically about how a woman has to bear the brunt of a man's actions and also has to submit to the standards of femininity and sexuality in society, both physically and in their behavior. So Medusa specifically asserts the idea that the patriarchy infuses in women a sense of insecurity and fear that if they do not fulfill standards of beauty and youth, that their men will leave them. The emphatic, "I'll know you go, betray me," in line 15, it underscores the apprehension that many women live with today. It is portrayed as one of the most insidious effects of objectification because it suggests that the desirability of a woman is dependent on her physical beauty. Furthermore, this gender inequality is also reflected in the impunity with which men reject their wives and seek other women. This is shown with line 39, "Your girls, your girls." The use of the repetition and the plural "girls" suggests that the unappealing Medusa has been replaced with more beautiful and younger women. Furthermore, the use of the second-person possessive pronoun "your" reflects society's and Medusa's implicit belief that girls are male possessions. Therefore, Duffy asserts the notion that in society, men are typically provided with more leeway, especially regarding infidelity. The poem Medusa, also with its dramatic monologue form, Medusa, with its dramatic monologue form, gives the persona a voice and perspective, and this is especially true with lines 13 and 14. "It's you I love, perfect man, Greek god, my own." Duffy's use of hyperbolic language and allusion to a deity suggests that Medusa as a character is in awe of the superior being. By referring to a god, it also implies that Medusa places herself beneath him and yet cannot have him as her own, as she fears that he will leave her. Now, this connects to the global issue because it suggests that male polygamous behavior is allowed, whereas a woman has to love and be loyal to her man. This is shown with the questions that are used, the rhetorical questions that are used later in the poem in lines 40 and 41. "Wasn't I beautiful? Wasn't I fragrant and young?" Duffy's use of these rhetorical questions reflects Medusa's social conditioning. It suggests that a woman has to fulfill the expectations of being beautiful, fragrant, and young to prevent her man from being unfaithful and to keep her man. In this way, Duffy suggests that while ironically the man is responsible, the woman is made to feel that she is. The gender inequality also manifests itself in the advertisement. These advertisements tap into the insecurities of young American women of losing their man. They solidify the expectations of youth and beauty for many women in society and emphasize that it's the obligation of the woman to fulfill to fulfill these societal expectations and satisfy their man. This is shown with the advertisement, as it highlights the grave consequences a woman can face if she does not purchase the product. In the headline, it says, if you guard against dry, lifeless, middle-aged skin. The word guard has connotations of protection from harm, which implies that women have to be extremely vigilant in protecting their complexion and have to remain, as shown in frame 4, the little bride forever. Furthermore, the use of extreme diction such as the word guard, the speech bubbles, and the graphics implies that a woman has to continue to strive to fulfill the requirements of beauty that is expected of her throughout her life, as it is what determines her self-worth. The advertisement also leverages a woman's fear of losing her physical youth, and that if she does not conform, her marriage will be unromantic. The advertisement features an older, more experienced woman adopting the male perspective by reinforcing stereotypes, as shown in the tagline of soft, smooth, young skin. The advertisement also in the headline puts quotes around the word middle age. Now this suggests that the advertisement is criticizing such skin to such an extent that they are implying that middle-aged skin is undesirable, so much so that it makes a marriage unromantic. This draws attention to the deep-seated fear of loss of youth that many women feel today, and is contrary to what women in the 1930s would have wanted to. They desired to create a home or to create a family. In this way, the advertisement shows that to have a good marriage, a woman must concede to her fears. Further, the advertisement shows that it's a responsibility of the woman to inject romance into the relationship. The subtle hint is that if she fails to do so, the man can look for a romance elsewhere. This is shown in frame 4, where it says her marriage. The fact that her is underlined suggests that it is the woman's responsibility to add romance to the relationship. This is stressed with the use of personal pronouns in the quote in frame 1, "That's why I'm so careful about my complexion." The use of the personal pronouns insinuates that the woman realizes that the onus is on her to keep the marriage successful. Furthermore, the advertisement features, as I said before, an older, more experienced woman advising a younger new bride. Since the audience would have been able to identify with desiring to look like a new bride, they feel privileged to be let into such a secret. In this manner, the advertisement perpetuates such societal expectations by mirroring societal beliefs of the fear of middle-aged skin, and further validates the fear that is felt by many women, that they have to take initiative to fulfill what is expected of them in society. The advertisement also suggests that societal expectations are very important, and a woman should fulfill these societal expectations of youth and beauty with the use of costumes. The women are wearing dresses that cinch the waist and accentuate the bust, which asserts the standards of femininity that is expected of the women in the audience, and disseminates the notion that a woman has to appear beautiful to appear worthy in society. In conclusion, Duffy's poetry demonstrates a woman's fear that she will not be able to satisfy her husband, or that her husband might leave her, and demonstrates the societal expectations that underlay this fear. Furthermore, the advertisement very bluntly asserts these expectations of societal beauty, and uses a woman's fear that she will not be able to fulfill these expectations to their advantage to make a purchase. Both texts highlight the prominence of patriarchy in today's society and the relevance of the issue. As it goes from 1930 to 1999, it suggests that the issue is a timeless one. This is because in today's modern society, although it has become more progressive, women still attempt to maintain their beauty and maintain their youth, because the idea that a woman should be beautiful and embrace her sexuality is still a prominent issue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, a couple of questions to follow up on. If we just go back to the poem first, you know, you talked about this being in the form of a dramatic monologue and giving voice and perspective, you know, through this persona. I'm interested, what do you think is the importance of the fact that this is a reworking of a Greek myth or a character from Greek mythology?
Well, this poem, Duffy with this poem actually puts Medusa into a modern context, and as I said before, highlights the fact that patriarchy is a timeless issue. Because she puts the character in such a modern context, it suggests that the idea that a woman has to fulfill certain societal expectations does not change over time, and that the role of a woman is determined by society, and the idea that women have to fulfill this societal role has not changed. I would say the importance of the fact that it's a Greek mythology suggests or gives the audience or the readers some reflection to think about how this issue has continued to or has maintained its timelessness, and that even although it may be less extreme nowadays, the issue of patriarchy and the prominence that a man can decide a woman's role is still a prevalent issue.
Okay. I'm interested by your choice of text as a combination. It's very interesting, and I'm curious about what you think is important or significant about perhaps the fact that the husband that you've spoken about is very much present or at least implied to be present in the poem, whereas there seems to be a total absence of the man or husbands in the advertisement. Can you comment on why you think that might be significant?
Well, the reason that the husband is very bluntly mentioned in the poem is because, as Ephraim mentioned, Duffy likes to vilify the man as to demonstrate how patriarchy affects women. However, this advertisement was done with earnest intention, because in the 1930s, these expectations were quite normal, as in contrast to what they are these days. The fact that a man is not mentioned here demonstrates the prominence of patriarchy on women, because it shows that women actually perpetuate the societal expectations with each other, and it's not that and that they have been so influenced by the man that they start influencing it. They start adopting, as I said, the male perspective with each other. The fact that the man is not here further helps the purpose of the text, because it is directed at young American women who would have already known their societal expectations, but this strongly asserts that to be even worthy in society, they need to fulfill what these two women are talking about, as they would talk about in real life with another woman.
Okay. I'm interested, in this, the presence of him here. How else, you talked about sort of your girls, that kind of direct address. Mm-hmm. How is the man or the husband presented elsewhere in the poem that you haven't already explored?
Well, first of all, in this poem, with the view that my global issue is focused on, the man is vilified as someone who's adulterous and does not take into consideration the feelings of the woman. But also, in the first stanza, it says, "A suspicion, a doubt, a jealousy grew in my mind, which turned the hairs on my head to filthy snakes." Which further implies or further suggests the man's influence on a woman on a woman's fears that he might leave her. So there's a suggestion that the man is simply a catalyst to the insecurities that are perpetuated, or the insecurities that snowball in society because of what is so blatantly expected of women. And this is shown with the quote, "which turned the hairs on my head to filthy snakes," as the grotesque visual image helps to demonstrate that Medusa's fears is actually what has led her to become this Gorgon, this monster. And it wasn't the direct influence of the man, but it was just simply the thought that the man was going to stray from home, that incited such a grotesque image. And the auditory imagery with filthy snakes emphasizes that, because it's almost as if the readers can hear the snakes hissing.
Okay, thanks. A final question. You talked about this being a timeless issue, and they're so far apart, these texts, and yet this is still so relevant in today's society. Does either text offer any kind of solution in your mind?
I would say that because the advertisement was placed in or is in the context of the 1930s, that there's not much of a solution offered because this was what that was the norm. However, because Duffy's poem was produced in 1999, where progression was starting to where progression was induced, there's a suggestion of a solution or perhaps a contemptuous response to what society presents to women as their expectations with the last line, "Look at me now." Now, this quote is ambiguous in the sense that it could mean that "look at me now," it could mean that Medusa is forcing the audience to look at what this fear and this expectations have done to her. But also, it's also challenging or testing the audience, as by looking at Medusa, they would be turned into stone. And this is perhaps not a solution, but in a way, Medusa's revenge to a vengeance towards what societal expectations have been imposed on her.
Okay, thank you.